Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tarsus Products Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all the participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jaiveer Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shekhawat.
Thank you, Riya. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I welcome you all to Tarsus Products Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. From the management today, we have Mr. Aryan Saigal, Promoter and Whole-Time Director, and Mr. Santosh Agarwal, the Chief Financial Officer. Now, without further ado, I would request Aryan to start with his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for questions and answers. Thanks, and over to you, Aryan.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all on our Q1 FY25 earnings conference call for Tarsus. Along with me today, I'm joined by Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO and Company Secretary for Tarsus Products Limited, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded our quarterly investor presentation on the stock exchange and company's website. I hope all of you all had an opportunity to go through the same. Over the past 18 months, the plastic labware industry was witnessing a slowdown in the Indian and global markets. However, we have witnessed signs of recovery in the industry with increased order inquiries in both the domestic and overseas market. Having been in this industry for over four decades, we have encountered similar challenges in the past and have successfully navigated it back then, emerging even stronger. We have seen industry bouncing back with increased demands and expanding customer base. We view the current situation as an opportunity to establish and strengthen our presence in the domestic and international market. By leveraging our high-quality products and cost-efficient manufacturing operations, we are well-positioned to make inroads into these markets. Our high-quality products, reliability, and on-time supplies will establish us with the goal of gradually increasing our share of business with these customers over time. We have been actively participating in large RFQs and overseas tenders, along with engagement in numerous international expos. These global platforms have provided us with the opportunity to demonstrate the robustness, diversity, and superior quality of our products to a wide array of potential customers. Our participation in these events is a critical component of our long-term growth plan. By showcasing our offerings on an international stage, we aim to increase our visibility in key markets and attract interest from a diverse range of industries and geographies. The response so far has been encouraging, with initial inquiries coming from several new prospects. However, it could take some time for order conversion and increase our supplies. We believe we are in the right direction and should be able to add revenues from these new customers over a longer period of time. The strategic approach not only reinforces our commitment to expanding our global footprint but also ensures that we are well-positioned to capture a larger market share as we continue to introduce new products and refine our current offerings. We have also taken a big leap by expanding our capacities and capabilities with our upcoming facility in Panchla. This facility is built looking ahead of time to cater to the growing demands of the plastic labware industry over the next 5 to 7 years. This new facility will not only enhance the production capacity of our existing product portfolio but also introduce new product categories such as cell culture to broaden our offerings and increase our addressable market. Panchla facility is expected to commence operations by H2 of this financial year. In the initial phase, our focus will be on servicing the domestic market, while Tarsus is already a well-established brand with strong customer relationships built over many decades. We are confident that this expansion will allow us to increase our share of business with these customers. On the global front, this facility will enable us to supply a wide range of products within the plastic labware industry, positioning us as a comprehensive one-stop solution for plastic labware. Regarding the Q1 FY25 performance, our standalone revenues, excluding Nerve Plus, stood at 64.9 crores, up from 62.6 crores in Q1 FY24, reflecting a growth of 3.6%. Despite the overall industry experiencing a decline in the quarter gone by, we have successfully increased our revenue, indicating an increase in our market share. As the demand recovers, which we are already witnessing some positive trends, we are optimistic about future revenue and profitability growth. In January 2024, we acquired Nerve Plus, a German-based plastic labware distribution company, to deepen our presence in key European geographies to a local foothold. Nerve currently serves multiple customers across various regions, providing strategic entry points for Tarsus over the coming years. We intend to capitalize on Nerve's capabilities in order to market our recently introduced products and expand Tarsus' product offerings in Europe. We are confident that this strategy will bring new customers, revenue growth, and increased profitability for Tarsus. Standalone adjusted EBITDA for Q1 FY25 stood at 20 crores, and the adjusted EBITDA margins stood at 50.9%. The reported EBITDA margins in Q1 FY25 were impacted mainly on account of change in product mix impacting the gross margins and the extended impact on the EBITDA. These 3 crore provision for machinery which was damaged during the transit. We are also in the process of filing the claim with the insurance company and are very optimistic of reversing it back as soon as the claim is approved by the insurance company. Increased employee expenses on account of annual salary revisions and addition of employees and workers for our upcoming facility. On account of certain expenses for our upcoming facility for which revenues will follow in the coming financial years. Adjusted for these one-off expenses and impact, our reported EBITDA stood at 17 crores with margins at 26.3%. Regarding our consolidated performance, if we include only the standalone India business and the Nerve business, our revenues stood at 84.8 crores with an adjusted EBITDA of 21.8 crores. Going forward, our consolidated margins might appear different due to the inclusion of Nerve Plus, which is currently a trading entity with lower margins compared to our India manufacturing business. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO for Tarsus, for his comments on the financial highlights.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q1 FY25 earnings calls. On the revenue front, standalone revenue from operation for Q1 FY25 stood at 64.9 crore, which has increased as compared to 62.6 crore in Q1 FY24 at a growth of 3.6%. Our consolidated revenue from operation for Q1 FY24 stood at 84.8 crore. Revenue from Norway for Q1 FY25 was 20 crore, which has been consolidated from 1st January 2024. For Q1 FY25, on consolidated basis, the revenue from overseas stood at 42 crore and domestic at 43 crore. Speaking about EBITDA, our EBITDA for Q1 FY25 stood at 20 crore as against 4.1 crore in Q1 FY24. The standalone adjusted EBITDA margin for Q1 FY25 stood at 30.9%. The consolidated adjusted EBITDA margin for Q1 FY25 stood at 25.7%. Margin were partially impacted due to the following reason. The number one reason is initial estimated provision 3 crore on account of machine damage during the transit, evaluation and insurance claim for the same engine process. Secondly, change in product mix, then increase in employee expenses with revision in salaries in Q1 FY25 and overhead expenses for the upcoming facility. The last one reason is the lower EBITDA margin on account of Nerve Plus, which is a trading entity. If we talk about the PAT, standalone profit after tax for Q1 FY25 stood at 6.5 crore with a PAT margin of 10%, and consolidated profit after tax for Q1 FY25 was 4 crore with a PAT margin of 4.7%. Further, we have recommended a dividend of Rs. 2 per share for FY24. Coming to Nerve Plus financials, the company has clocked quarterly revenue of 20 crore in Q1 FY25. If we talk about the PBT front, the company reported a profit of 0.9 crore. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
Hello. So I have two, three questions. My first question is, if we look at the domestic diagnostic industry, looks like this quarter the results have turned and many companies are getting good results. So in that context, given earlier we were telling there are headwinds, how do you see it benefiting us? Do you also see green shoots for us in the domestic diagnostic as a segment? That is the first question.
Sure. So, I think the domestic diagnostic industry has revived very well and our business has stabilized with the diagnostic industry. Just to add that, which I've informed earlier as well, the business was a standard business with the diagnostic industry pre-COVID, and it's fallen back to that standard business today. There was a one-time exceptional business during COVID because of the testing which the diagnostic companies have, which no longer exists.
Okay. My second question is, we have this huge CapEx going on. I wanted to know, and I think the CapEx program started almost 2.5 years back, and I'm talking particularly about the growth CapEx, not the warehousing one. So has it been delayed, and what is the reason, and when it will go live, and if you can give some plan around when we will achieve 10, 20, 30% capacity utilization, and in which quarter it will go live, and how the operating leverage will play out?
Sure. So the CapEx was divided into two portions. The manufacturing and the growth CapEx, not the warehouse CapEx. One was the infrastructure, which is being built now almost for a year. It's been ready for the last at least 9 months to 12 months. And the other was bringing in the machines and commissioning those machines. We would have started our CapEx around four months back. But due to the unfortunate incident of the machines getting damaged during transit, a large block of the machines got damaged, for which we are preparing our insurance claim. Our commissioning for this plant is slightly delayed.
So when are we going to commission it? Do we have any visibility in terms of timeline?
So the next block of machines should start in H2, as Santosh mentioned in his introductory speech. These block of machines would be stalled, and there would be a longer delay because there would be claim from insurance, and based on that claims, you would have replacements. So this was the first block which we were going to start our partial operations with. But this first block would now become come much after the second and third block, because insurance claim and then getting the replacements of these machines would again take time.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Jaivi Shikhawat from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Rohan, firstly, if we look at the larger global life sciences lab-based companies, say Thermo Fisher, Corning, Aventor, and Danaher, and if you see the CY23 results, they've just reported about a 5 to 10% revenue decline, which is possibly more or less similar to even Darsen's. And even in CY24, they're likely to either report a flattish sort of a revenue trend or a single-digit growth, despite being multi-billion-dollar revenue enterprises.
Right.
One, if you look back, I mean, are there any micro or company-level factors that you plan to address that can possibly accelerate growth for Tarsans? And then just more in terms of the demand recovery across end-user industries as to what you're seeing, even apart diagnostics.
Right. So coming to the companies you mentioned, with the exception of Corning, which is a large company which has got a significant plastic labware revenue compared to their total revenue, I think that would total up to almost 12.5%-13% of their total revenues. The other companies like Danaher, Thermo Fisher Scientific, and Avantor, their plastic labware revenue, which is an identical like-for-like or apple-to-apple comparison to our product line, would be less than 6%-7%. So they're mainly life science companies having a lot of reagent, having a lot of equipment, and a lot of other things. So it's not a fair comparison. But if you see their like-for-like business, I think, as I mentioned in our earlier calls, our performance is much better than theirs. But having said that, you're rightfully for these larger companies, their base or their revenue base will be much larger than ours. But if you look closer to our size in India, in Asia, maybe China, South Korea, we would find companies similar to our size. So looking at a like-for-like comparison with those companies and ours, same product mix, same revenue size would give a better idea of how we are performing in the industry as compared to the others.
Sure. And given that there have been almost 2 years in which the industry has seen a decline, so are you seeing, say, the smaller ones exiting the industry or possibly the amount of capital that was getting into the industry, has that sort of moderated? So any signs there? And then, I mean, more acquisitions happening in the industry?
Sure. Not a lot of acquisitions because as the industry, the growth is down, it's not very attractive for the larger companies to further invest more in these companies because they already have a lot of planned CapEx, which is unused at this point of time because of lower demands. So we don't see a lot of M&A activity at this point of time. Of course, we are very, very bullish about the industry considering our size and the amount of reach which is available for us, the runway of growth available for us over the years. We are not particularly looking for an acquisition at this point of time because we've done the first acquisition of our company history 6 months back. So we're looking to stabilize things there. But in the future, if things do come as a company, we'd definitely be interested. But overall, I don't see much transactions happening in the life science plastic industry globally. Companies shutting down, not so many in India, but I hear a lot of Chinese companies shutting down. But the volume of companies which came in China was probably 100 times more than what came in India. There were people who acted as manufacturers but were not actually manufacturers. So they ceased activity. They were traders. In terms of new capital investments, I think in India, it would be pretty much zero at this point of time. I don't see anyone putting in new capital into this industry.
Sure. That's helpful. Secondly, if you talk about your margins, let's say on a consolidated level, these have come down to around mid-20s. I mean, if you adjust for the one-offs. So what's your strategy? What's the management strategy to turn around the margins for the Nerve entities? And then where do you see these consolidated margins heading, let's say, a year out to when you've sort of stabilized that entity?
See, we never bought Nerve Plus or we never acquired Nerve Plus based on its margins. We acquired Nerve Plus to see the synergistic platform which we could get from Nerve Plus to be able to establish our footprint in Europe. So I think over the next 3 to 4 years, we'll have a lot moving from Tarsans into Nerve and then from Nerve into Europe. And that's what the whole goal is. We would, as a company, as Tarsans, on a standalone basis, I think we'd be able to maintain margins over the medium to long term as the revenues start growing because at this point, we're in a very transitionary phase. We are investing for a company or for the size of a company which we today currently aren't because of the slowdown in the industry and various other factors. But I think Tarsans over the medium term would continue having very, very robust financials and margins. Nerve would also be very strong in the balance sheet, but it would never be anywhere close to what the Tarsans standalone would be. So on a consolidated basis, we'd be accustomed to seeing lower margins because of Nerve's EBITDA margins.
Sure. And on your standalone business, while we see there has been a lot of upfronting, of course, ahead of your new capacities, but as those come in, do you expect say, further similar increase in your expenses? Or do you think the guidance that you had given earlier of early to mid-40s for a standalone business margins, I mean, does that remain intact?
See, if you look at our business, if you look at the material margin or the gross margin, there's not much of an impact.
Yes.
So if these material margins remain, the expenses start getting lower and lower as the scale grows. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be in those margins, what we have discussed earlier. But if the industry has slowed down or there's intense competition, only the gross margin gets affected. I don't see the gross margin getting affected at this point of time.
Sure. Just a last question on your Panchala facility. So could you call out how much of your capacities are being added to your existing line of products and how much is getting added to PCR and cell culture? And also the breakup of the CapEx and how much is spending?
So in Panchala, most of the CapEx has been executed. It may not have been completed, but most of the CapEx of Panchala has been executed. I think less than 30% is on existing products with capacity expansion, and more than 70-odd% is for new products, products we've never sold before, which we are developing for the first time.
Sure. And what will be the overall CapEx? And how much is yet remaining to be incurred?
So the overall CapEx we have incurred is in Panchala is about to be, 300 crore rupees.
Right.
Including
I mean, including the overall CapEx program, I mean, if you remember, that was around 550 to 600 crores. So where is that remaining amount getting spent?
So if you talk about the total CapEx of 600 crore rupees, you already spent about 525 crore rupees, and the remaining amount will be going to be, incurred in, next 6 months to 1 year timeline.
Right. No, just to understand, so you said 300 crore for the Panchala facility, then where is the remaining 300 crores getting spent?
So the remaining 300 crore for the remaining plants.
So
we are also building
expanding in the existing five plants?
No, we are also building Amta plant also. So one part also incurred for that, and the remaining part for the remaining existing plant, Jangalpur and Dhulagar.
Understood. All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, I would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question will be from the line of Jasjeep Walia from Clockwing Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, the base for this quarter, which is 1QFY24, was particularly weak for the domestic business. On that weak base, we have declined in this quarter. This is despite your commentary in the last two quarters where you have been more sanguine on the domestic business versus the exports. And you've been saying that sequentially, with every quarter, there'll be improvement witnessed in the domestic business. Also, if you look at the underlying industries, diagnostics companies seem to be doing really well. Each of the companies is reporting 8 to 10% volume growth YOY, if you see the last quarter. Also, pharma industry has also been doing really well in the last year as well as in the first quarter. So if you could segment your sales in first quarter in India, and if you could talk about the reasons why we have seen such a subdued performance in first quarter in the domestic business.
So historically, in the last 48, 49 years of our company existence, we've never been able to beat quarter four. Quarter four will always be the strongest quarter.
No, I was talking about YOY. I'm comparing against 1QFY24.
From 1QFY24 to 1QFY25, our numbers are higher as a total basis, but are not as high on the India basis because we had a lot of one-time revenues last year in FY24 which spilled over from Q4 of FY23 into Q1 of FY24. So what we are doing is we are receiving orders on an everyday basis, but we can only dispatch orders what we have availability for. But the people don't cancel orders if the delivery is not made at the same time. So we could have a lot of orders in March which we cannot fulfill, which will go in April, which will spill to the next month, People will not wait one full year for orders, but we do have pendings which last for 30, 35, 40 days.
And just to add, we are receiving orders both from domestic and export, right? and the manufacturing facility is same to execute those orders. So, for example, in Q1 FY25, domestic has done 42 in compared to 45 of last year, and export has done 22 in compared to 17 of last year. So, we could have changed this combination if we have given the more allocation to domestic. So, we should see the revenue on a total front, not on a domestic and export just on a quarterly basis. Because if you see the whole year number, then we can talk about domestic to domestic and export to export. You could have changed this proportion if you would have allocated more to domestic and later to export.
Just
so
to,
in the domestic business, revenues can't be a function of dedicating capacity to either of your businesses, because it is as per the demand, right? As per the client demand. You can't
It is as per client demand, but we can always dedicate our capacities. For example, exporting today is a big problem because of container issues, container crisis, availability of vessels to move into the US, move into Europe. Exporting today in 2024 isn't as smooth as what it was in 2020. Today I could have a shipment ready for US or a shipment ready for Europe waiting 20 days in my warehouse before I get a vessel availability. Earlier, I would not even have to wait 48 hours and I would get a vessel availability. So my planning has to be where I keep a mix of both my export. I cannot, at the end of the day, lose my international customers who have built over a period of time as well. So as a company, we do have pending orders, and we would need to balance revenues accordingly.
The run rate of revenues in 1Q is pretty low, and your peak sales are 300 crores. So I'm assuming that there would be a lot of capacity available even in your old setup if you exclude the current capex.
Absolutely.
So revenues can't be a function of you having to allocate capacity, right? Because there's surplus capacity available.
But we are building 2,000 SKUs, so we could have capacities for products where there's no business, and we could not have capacities for products where there's a lot of business. Today we have today we have pending orders, but we have spare capacities as well. That is because we are running to a 2,000 to 2,500 SKU business.
And just to give a data point, if you see our total revenue increased by 3%, but in both domestic and export, our order book has been increased significantly in compared to last year.
Got it. So overall, for domestic business, would your I guess labware industry has, in the long term, pre-COVID, has been growing at around 12%. So should we at least see an industry, growth reflected in the numbers in FY25, or there's still some time for market to recover?
See, just to put it for you on your concerns on the domestic business, the reason Tarsons has lost out on revenue from 300 crores to 280 crores, the decline has been somewhere around 6 to 7%. The reason for this decline is because of Tarsons' strength in the domestic market. If Tarsons wasn't this strong in the domestic market, our decline would have been 30 to 35%, just like the company industry average all over the world.
Okay.
If you look at any company in the plastic labware industry, from peak COVID revenues, their decline minimum has been 35%. The reason for our decline is the ability to maintain market share and the ability to take market share from other competitors continuously, even in a low market in the domestic in India.
Got it, sir. So one of my earlier questions was that do you see any particular weakness on account of particular weakness in one in any of the segments you are addressing in the India business in 1Q, which has led to this performance, or you know it's just business as usual?
It's absolutely business as usual. We don't see any new weaknesses. Whatever existed historically exists even today. So our strengths and weaknesses remain unchanged in Q1 FY25.
No, sir, I'm talking from your client perspective. So you have 3-4 segments, right? Diagnostics, pharma.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Our strengths and weaknesses across these clients, whether it is diagnostic, pharma, education, research, remain unchanged. It's not that we got weaker in some segment and got stronger somewhere else. Everything remains the same. The numbers are not reflective if you see the decline from 45 to 42 crores, it's not reflecting the correct story.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. So we are spending 300 crore rupee for logistic and storage facility in Amta. So out of our current facility, do we have any kind of similar facility for logistic and storage?
So at this point of time, we do not have. We have a logistics center in all our facilities. And in our main facility, we have a small logistics center where we accumulate just-in-time inventories to be able to ship out products internationally, specifically internationally, because in international, generally the shipments are consolidated in larger trucks and there are not smaller shipments like the way they are domestically. But the need for logistics is growing more and more because inventory levels are getting higher because the logistic movement internationally is not smooth and things have not improved. We always expected an improvement over the last 24 months, but somehow there is some global problem or the other always since the last 2 years, which has made this movement highly slow and unpredictable, because of which we have to maintain higher inventories. But the purpose of building this logistics facility was not bad. The purpose was that today we are around a 300 crore company and we just about manage and survive. But if we want to become a 400, 500, 600 crore company, we don't have the infrastructure to do business of those volumes. And we are not spending 300 crores in the logistics facility. We are spending 300 crores in our manufacturing and growth facility, Pashla as it's called. And a sizable portion of the 300 crores, maybe around 55, 60 odd percent, about 170, 180 crores in Amta. The rest is in the newer facilities, 70 to 80 crores in our existing facilities.
Okay, understood. And my next question is regarding our Nerbe acquisition. So currently, how much revenue do we generate from Europe? And going forward, how much do we envisage to grow this number with the help of Nerbe distribution network?
So Nerbe is approximately a 10 million euro company. And we hope to be able to find a lot of synergies to grow that robustly over the next few years. But as a company, we don't really give our, distribution into, particular countries in Europe. We don't really disclose that.
Okay, so any ballpark number that we can achieve in going forward through this synergy? So any ballpark number, like can we grow it to 5x, 6x?
No, the endeavor is to grow it to that level, but we will have to wait and watch how, our manufacturing synergies and their, customer synergies can get together.
Yeah, okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Ridhima Goyal from Acquaint B Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rohan. Hi, Santosh. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. My question is related to this new acquisition which we have done, that is Nerbe. So I just wanted to understand why there has been such a drop in the gross margin level also, and what is the scope of improvement in the new acquisition part? Like, can we improve their margins by 1-2%, or it could be higher?
So for us, the major focus over the next 2 to 3 years is to be able to ensure how we can grow our revenues through Nerbe. While maintaining Nerbe to be profitable, I think being a distributor, having the kind of gross margins they have is quite impressive. At this point of time, I think they've been able to generate those kind of gross margins is because they've been able to build a brand identity for themselves in Europe and not just buy and sell other branded products. So at this point of time, I'm not very concerned about the Nerbe margins. What we are looking to drive over the next 2 to 3 years is how we can build our European business through Nerbe.
So we are not very much concerned about the margin part. So on a consolidated basis, we can expect these margins.
Yeah, if you look at life science companies, in the plastic segment in Europe, I don't think there'd be a lot of companies at 47-48% gross margins.
As you know, Nerbe is a trader, it's not a manufacturer. So trader always have a margin in between 8-12%. So they cannot have the margin like 45-46% like in a manufacturing company.
Understood. So 10 to 12% is what we can expect from the Nerve Pharma EBITDA.
Absolutely. And there could be, you know, if we add more value added products, it could go up. It all depends, you know, it's very difficult to put a number 3 years, 4 years down the line, especially in a geography like Europe, where it's very dynamic at this point of time. You know, a lot of changes, a lot of global upheaval happening all over the place. So it's not very easy to, you know, pinpoint on something so specific over the next 3 to 4 years.
Understood. And also on the standalone part, we have seen a gross margin decline by around like 3%. So what is the reason for that? Are we seeing any pricing pressure on our products in the domestic part or maybe overall part?
See, the market is competitive. There's not really, I would not really go on to say pricing pressure, but the market is competitive. The demands have been low over the last 2 years. The supplies have been high. So, of course, people like to push more product, but I won't say pricing pressure per se. Change of product mix as well. A lot of high margin products like the PCRs and the liquid handlings have lower demand in the market. So that brings you know, some of the gross margins down. And then when you start building new products, you have to discount those products for people to try it for the first time, because if you don't have any history or leverage on those products and people don't trust you for those products, or they don't trust your brand for those products, there's always an introductory cost.
But the new product contribution would be less to your overall revenue. So that must not be the major contribution to the decline in the gross.
No, I just listed all the factors for you. It's a mix which brought the 3% down. There's a change in product mix. There's the market scenario and the introduction of new products.
Understood. And one last question I needed to ask was, since we are seeing that the Panchala plant will start contributing from second half of FY25, so when can we see the around 50-60% capacity utilization level from the Panchala plant, or maybe the major contribution to your top line? When will it start? What is the timeline?
So it's all a function of how the market reacts and how quickly we can capture businesses globally and in India. I think global would play a very important role, because the Panchala facility is so large with such huge capacities, the global market would have to play a very big role compared to India. But having said that, we could have installed 100% of our capacities over November, December of this year. But due to a major machinery problem in transit, that would be delayed further. So I think over the next 8 to 9 months or maybe 10 months, all our machinery would be installed. But most of our machinery would be installed within the next 5-6 months.
Okay, so we can expect 6 months to 8 months for the...
For all machine installations, yeah. So whatever we've planned, this CapEx of 550 odd crores, all that would be delivered and installed.
And the top line contribution will start post that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much. That is from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Ashutosh Parashar from Mirabilis Investment Trust. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, Rohan, if I understood correctly, you said earlier that the plastic labware industry in itself would have declined by 30-35% till Q1, in this quarter at least. So, if we compare this against the glassware labware industry, so what do you think was the decline there? Because if I see the Borosil's scientific division, they are still reporting double-digit growth. So is it like the glass segment is again taking back market share from the plastic segment and all? What do you see is the context of the industry right now?
I don't really follow the glass industry very well, but what I understand about the company you're talking about, they've had at least two or three acquisitions and new entities launched over the last 2 years or 3 years. So I think it's you're looking at it on a consolidated level, but what I hear from distributors around in India, because all distributors are common, they don't only sell plastic, they sell plastic, glass, chemical. I don't see a very strong glass industry in the country, in India at least. Internationally, I don't have much idea.
Okay.
And regarding the decline in the plastic labware industry, what I said was in one of my earlier answers was that if you compare similar companies from Asia having similar product mix as Starsons and similar revenue bases as Starsons, their revenue would have declined to the tune of 30 to 35% from their peak revenue of COVID, which was FY22.
Okay, got it. And on the international piece, you said that you are participating in a lot of RFQs and global tenders. So
Right. Typically,
what kind of success rates are we seeing here, and should we expect to see some sort of realization creeping in from this from the second half this year or maybe next year?
This is how we won our earlier businesses as well. At least in the OEM segment, it's all a function of RFQs. So hopefully, these are long drawn processes. It's not that I fill an RFQ today and in 2 weeks I know whether I'm the winner or not for that RFQ. But hopefully over quarter three and quarter four, we hope to win more businesses, and that's the only way for us to scale up our international business and be able to utilize more of our upcoming capacities.
So these supplies would not have started yet based on whatever wins we have had in the last, say, 1 or 2 quarters. So these supplies would not have started yet, and they are expected to start maybe from H2 or next year.
Yeah, absolutely. We keep having certain wins here and there, but we're looking to bid for even bigger businesses as we have, larger capacities on board over the next 2 quarters, and hopefully we could have some significant, turnarounds.
Okay, got it. And just lastly on Nerbe, so are there any changes that we have done post acquisition that you could highlight, or we are still kind of let it run as it was being run earlier also? So if you
absolutely let it run how it was, made no changes in their structure, in their functioning, in their team, run it as a complete independent entity, but at the same time working very closely with their team to be able to understand their product mix better, to be able to see what value we can add to their existing product mix, and to devise strategies on how we can leverage all our new product introductions with Nerbe for the European market.
Okay, understand. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, I would like to remind participants that in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question will be from the line of Lokesh Sivamon Reddy from IBM. Please go ahead. Mr. Lokesh, your line is unmuted. You can ask your question. As there is no response from the current participant, we will move to the next question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So I just wanted to know about the current debt level and what is our average cost of debt.
So the current debt currently is about 270 crore rupees is the current debt, and our average interest rate is coming around 8.25 or 8.3%, something like that.
We didn't have any increase in debt from March level, right?
We are taking the additional debt, but we are also repaying that. So on nutshell, currently our debt is ranging in between 260 to 270 crore rupees, something like that.
Yeah. So what would be the peak debt going forward?
So the peak debt going forward, so far we have forecasted, is not should not go beyond 300 crore rupees, because we are doing the repayment also.
Okay, understood. And can you also provide the number that you have said that you have an order book? So can you provide a number, any broad guideline toward that number that we have
ordered? So as a company, we don't give any kind of order guidance or any kind of order details, because unless it's reflected into the sales and we execute, we don't disclose the number at a company level.
Okay, understood.
And even if we get the orders, we never disclose details on the type of order, the value of order, who the customer is. We won't do that.
Okay, understood. Thank you for answering the question and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. We will keep updating the investor community on a regular basis for incremental updates on your company. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relation advisors. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.